Good morning, everyone. Good to see so many faces out there. The singing was pretty good, too. It's a different when you sit up front and there's a lot of voices singing. It sounds really good. If I were going to title this talk this morning, it would probably be something like Morals and Ethics. Or something like, is our society going downhill in morals, in the area of morals and ethics? Or something like, are we being dragged downhill also in the area of the society's being dragged down in morals, or whatever it is you, whatever it might be? Morality. What is morality? Per Random House's Collegiate Dictionary, morality is conformity to the right rules of conduct, virtuous conduct, chastity. Conformity to right rules of conduct, virtuous conduct, chastity. Ethics, per Random House's Collegiate Dictionary, is a system of moral principles. Rules of conduct recognized in respect to a particular class of human actions or a particular group, culture, etc. I'll do that again. Rules of conduct recognized in respect to a particular class of human actions or a particular group, culture, etc. Moral principles as of an individual. So what are you if you are moral? You conform to the right rules of conduct. Conform, meaning to act in accord or harmony with, or to comply with. So you comply with the right way of doing things. You have virtuous conduct. Virtuous meaning conforming to moral and ethical principles. Isn't it interesting how it winds around about each other? Virtuous, conforming to moral and ethical principles. Morally excellent or upright. Chaste, obscenity-free. Definition of virtuous. So you comply with or act in accordance with the upright and obscenity-free way of doing things, if you are moral. If you are ethical, you comply to a system of upright principles. You do things in an upright way. In other words, if you are moral and you are ethical, you do things according to what God wants. That is, you do the right thing. The question is, how do you think our society's going? You think our society's going the right way? Do you think our society's going the wrong way? Do you think we, as a church, as Christians, are going downhill? Have any of you seen lately within the last few days a Supreme Court ruling against the FCC? The Supreme Court ruled against, the FCC sanctioned ABC and Fox for profanity and nudity in one or some of their shows. And I was drinking coffee one morning watching Fox News, and there was a runner across the bottom. And it was this, and I'll read some of this to you. It says, the Supreme Court on Thursday, that's this past Thursday, ruled against the FCC's policy regulating curse words and nudity on broadcast television. It was a unanimous decision. The High Court threw out fines and sanctions imposed by the Federal Communications Commission. This case involves some uncensored curse words and brief nudity on various networks, including Fox. Because the FCC failed to give Fox or ABC fair notice prior to the broadcast in question that fleeting expletives and momentary nudity could be found actionably indecent, the Commission's standards applying to these principles, to these broadcasts, were vague. Okay? So it says, because they failed to give them notice prior that these things could be found actionably indecent. Their standards applied to this broadcast were too vague. The court said the FCC is now free to modify its current policy in light of this ruling. The justices, though, declined to issue a broad ruling on the constitutionality of the FCC indecency policy. Instead, the court concluded only that broadcasters could not have known in advance that obscenities uttered during the award show programs and a brief display of nudity on an episode of ABC's NYPD Blue could give rise to sanctions. ABC and 45 affiliates were hit with the proposed fines totaling nearly $1.24 million. Justice Anthony Kennedy said in his opinion for the court that it's unnecessary for the court to address the constitutionality of the current policy. The case arose from a change in the FCC's long-standing policy on curse words. For many years, the agency did not take action against broadcasters for one-time uses of curse words. But following several award shows with cursing celebrities in 2002 and 2003, the FCC toughened its policy after it concluded that a one-free expletive rule did not make sense in the context of keeping the airways free of indecency when children are likely to be watching television. But Kennedy said the commission did not adequately explain that under the new policy, a fleeting expletive or a brief shot of nudity could be actionably indecent. Actionably indecent. Isn't that quite a term? Actionably indecent. The broadcasters argued that the revolution in technology, keep that term in mind because I'm going to come back to it, the revolution in technology has brought the internet, satellite television, the broadcasters argued that the revolution in technology that has brought us the internet, satellite television, and cable make even the old rules obsolete. The regulations only apply to broadcast channels. Okay, so in a nutshell, the FCC imposed fines and sanctions on Fox and ABC for indecency. Fox and ABC turned around and argued that they couldn't have known that they were going to be sanctioned for this, and they were going to have these fines in this because the FCC policy had been changing, and how could they know? So the appeal went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the broadcasters. Now, this is talking about Antenna TV right now, because the argument they made was it's on the internet, it's on satellite TV, it's on cable. We want it too. So that was the argument. And the court ruled against the FCC, saying that Fox or that the FCC did not give Fox or ABC fair notice that obscenity and nudity was indecent or could be actionably indecent. Actionably indecent. The question has to come to mind. Why did they have to be told that nudity and cursing was indecent? Why did they have to be told? Were they just deliberately trying to push the boundaries of decency? Do you think they actually knew that they wouldn't be subject to some kind of reprimand if they did it? It said the policies began changing in 2003 and 2002 and 2003. That's 10 years ago. Why did they have to be told? Why did they push the boundaries of decency? Because it gets them a bigger audience. We're talking broadcast TV here. We're talking the Antenna TV. Cable, the internet, satellite TV, they've all got it. We want it too. Why do we want it too? We want it too because it gives us a larger audience. And why does it give us a larger audience? Because society as a whole wants it. Society wants it. So we want to give it to them. The pleasures of sin. Doesn't the scriptures call it the pleasures of sin? Moses left the court of Pharaoh rather than suffer the pleasures of sin for a season. The crux of the broadcaster's argument was the revolution in technology. The revolution in technology has brought it to the internet, satellite, TV, and cable. They've got it. We want it. Everyone should be able to do it because a few have it. The broadcasters knew that profanity and nudity were actionably indecent. But they did it anyway, and then they claimed ignorance. How could we know that these things would be found actionably indecent? The court ruling used a weak excuse to expand their liberalism. They said that because the networks weren't properly informed, that they could be fined for these things, that their sanctions, their fines were invalid. They should have upheld those fines and those sanctions. But what they did was upheld profanity and nudity on broadcast television. There was another little part of this that said the court's 1978 Pacifica's decision, 1978, 34 years ago, the Pacifica decision upheld the FCC's reprimand of a New York radio station for airing George Carlin's monologue containing a 12-minute string of expletives in the middle of the afternoon. The FCC sanctioned this radio station for that, and the court upheld that sanction. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg said in a brief opinion that she would have overturned that decision because it was wrong, even when it was decided. Are we going the right way? This is our Supreme Court, folks. Are we going the right way? You can think about that for a few minutes. Right now, I want to kind of change directions here and talk about thinking outside the box. Taking the next step. I admire those people who think outside the box. I can't. I was a math major. I have 2 and 2 is 4, and that's it. 4 and 4 is 8, 8 and 8 is 16, that's it. I don't have a creative mind. I admire those that do. I have read that it takes a certain higher degree of intelligence to have a mind of creativity and to think outside the box. There have been wonderful technological advancements by people who thought outside the box. Take the field of medicine, for instance. There was a clip on TV the other day about a guy that was getting a bionic limb. I think it was his hand or arm. And they were, you remember back in the Star Wars, where one of the Star Wars movies where Luke Skywalker got his hand cut off by Darth Vader, and at the end of the episode, he had his prosthetic hand and he was wiggling his fingers. That was science fiction. What's that been? 30 years ago? It was science fiction then. 30 years later, it's reality. It's either in existence or it's being studied to have prosthetic limbs respond to commands from the brain. Science fiction that has become reality. It's kind of scary. But it's a wonderful thing. There have been stem cell research, good and bad ramifications from that. Cancer research. Have you read the article about the? They have discovered. They either knew or they have discovered that the cancer cells have a shield around them that the white blood cells of your body can't penetrate. That's why the body's immune system cannot cure itself of cancer. is because the white blood cells can't get through this shield that the cancer cells have. All these years, the targets have been the cancer cells themselves. Kill the cancer cells through radiation chemotherapy. Well, now somebody came up with the idea, let's kill that shield and let the body's own immune system cure the cancer. And apparently it's working in test studies. But who was the guy that thought, maybe we ought to just look at this shield instead of this cancer cell itself? Who thought about that? A man at work taped one of the news shows and brought it to me because I have had some problems with discs, disc surgeries, that sort of thing. And they have discovered a new material that they can inject into a person's disc, blow it back up, and suck the herniation back in and fix it. And this material stays in the form of a gel. And one of the doctors was shown on this television telling this guy, this guy was about in his 50s, I think. He says, I can make every disc in your body like it was when you were 17. I like it. It's amazing to take, kind of like the kids letting the air, you've heard the story about the truck wedging under the bridge and they couldn't figure out how to get it out, and the kid says, let the air out of the tires. You know? Now we've got these compressed bulging discs and somebody says, let's blow them up. Amazing. The information highway. Thinking outside the box on the information highway. We have information available right now. Right at our fingertips. I read an article that said the desktop PC is going to become obsolete because it's all going to be in your hand. We have so much technology that you can have all the information at your fingertips, in your hand, on your phone or whatever they are now. I'm not even sure what BlackBerries and iPods and iPads and all that really are. I'm not even sure what a phone is anymore. But the information is right there. And that can be good or bad. You can have indecent information right there too. GPS. Wade Stanley came to our house to eat, and when we got home that night, the night before from VBS, I looked at Shirley and said, well, he's coming tomorrow night. I hope he remembers how to get to our house. And she looked at me and says, he'll GPS it. He'll get here. So he pulled up to the door and pulled in, came in, and he said, yeah, I GPS'd it. Amazing. Amazing technology. Both good and bad. Who said one little swear word on TV isn't going to hurt? You know, one little, or maybe he said, let's see if we can sneak it by. One little word on this TV program or this movie won't hurt a thing. And that's led to widespread publicly broadcasted profanity. And it's been upheld by our own Supreme Court. Remember the old Dick Van Dyke show, the old I Love Lucy show? Rob and Laura and Lucy and Desi slept in separate beds, didn't they? Who do you suppose it was that says, well, maybe you ought to have them in the same bed? But that's all the further we'll go. You remember, there's a show on, it's still on, I think. We don't watch it anymore, but it's called Two and a Half Men. And when it started out, it was the interaction between Charlie Sheen and his nephew who just moved in. It was pretty funny. There was one, I remember one episode, the young man was in the habit of questioning everything. What do you want for breakfast? Well, what do you got? Well, we've got cereal. Well, what kind of cereal you got? Well, we got this kind of show. Well, what's that? And it was pretty funny. But that show gravitated into immorality, extramarital sex. It just got to be preoccupied with Charlie Sheen's extramarital sex life. We stopped watching it. We don't watch it anymore. Who said we could have them sleep in the same bed? But that's all the further we'll go. And who said it'd be okay to have a piano in the church when we know that the first century church did not have instrumental music? We know that. Who was the guy that said, won't hurt to have a piano? And then it won't hurt to have a drum. And then it won't hurt to have a saxophone. Then it won't hurt to have a guitar. And then pretty soon you're being entertained by a rock band. And don't think that doesn't happen, because it does. I've been to one. when it says sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord, the scripture says you sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. When the congregation's singing, you better be singing. We know that the first century church did not have instrumental music. Yes, I admire people's creativity, the ability to think outside the box, and it's resulted in some really good things. In the spiritual realm, though, I think when you decide that you want to think out the box and you decide that you want to take things one step further, you better stop and think where that first step might lead. I think that's important in every case. But I think it's important, especially in the spiritual realm, especially in the church. You can't always envision. It's easy for us to look now back into the past and say, well, they should have thought about this. You know, they should have thought about that. It's easy for us to say that now. It's not so hard to say in the present, where might this step lead? But I think it deserves a lot of consideration. When you decide to put a piano, when the guy decided to put a piano in the church, where did it lead? Maybe he couldn't have seen that. But when we decide to step outside of the box, when we decided to take it one step further, in the spiritual realm, in the church, I think we better stop and consider it very, very carefully because it could have eternal ramifications. It's important to stop and try to consider where it might lead. Let's not have baptism be necessary for salvation. Let's only have the Lord's table once a month. Let's not say we can fall from our sin because it doesn't feel good. Let's not have anything to do once we believe. We know that we can fall. Hebrews says, if you willfully turn from the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but only fearful looking for of judgment. If you can't fall from your sins, why is there fearful looking for of judgment? If you don't have to be baptized, why does the scripture say, he who believeth and is baptized shall be saved? If you only need to have the Lord's table once a month or twice a year, why do the scriptures say the apostles came together upon the first day of the week to break bread? You have to stop and look where things might lead. The revolution in technology. Broadcasters argued that the revolution in technology has made even the old rules obsolete. I think we can easily see that our society is going downhill in the ethics, in the field area of ethics and morality. I think we see it every day. We have to be careful that it doesn't insidiously creep into our lives, into our way of life, into our speech, into our being. Hebrews 13 and 8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the first chapter of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word. The Word. And it is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't change. James 1 and 17 tells us that God doesn't change. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, and in Him there is no shadow of turning. No shadow of turning. God doesn't change. Romans 11 and 29 said His gifts and His call are irrevocable. Doesn't change. Society shouldn't change it. Technology shouldn't change it. The revolution in technology shouldn't change it. Christians should not accept things that are actionably indecent. Shouldn't let them creep into our lives. Because before you know it, you wake up and you might be doing it. You have to be careful. The Word is the same as it was 2,000 years ago, even though people have tried to change it through modern translations. People have tried to change the Word. But God still wants us not to begrudge holders, adulterers, liars, thieves, drunks, and not to have any filthy communication proceed from out of our mouth. God still wants us to love the brethren, be kind and forgiving, be humble, be in attendance, and pray without ceasing. Right? Among other things. Among all the other things in this unchanging word. Ephesians 5 and 1 says, be ye imitators of God. Ephesians 5 and 8, walk as children of light. This is light. The Bible is light. The Word of God. It's our responsibility to live according to it. Society bombards us with a lessening of moral and ethical standards. Don't let it insidiously creep into your lives and into your being. It's so easy to adopt some of the ways of the world. To accept what God does not want before we even realize it. Because it all boils down to what God wants, doesn't it? It's what God wants. The revolution in technology does not change what God wants. Don't stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ not having done what God wants. As in the days of Noah, that's what the end will be. Isn't that what the scripture tells us? It'll be as in the days of Noah. It's interesting that John Lee once mentioned that the approximate estimation of Earth's population at the time of Noah was 240 million people. And 8 were saved. So what are the odds? 1 in 30 million. And what do we have? 7 billion people on the face of the Earth now? 30 times 240 million? 30 times 8 is 240 people? If you can apply those numbers. 1 in 30 million chance. Odds of 1 in 30 million. Kind of scary, isn't it? Kind of scary. I've had conversations about our 4- and 5-year-old children in 50 years. What kind of world are they going to live in? What's it going to be? We have a responsibility as Christians to follow the Word of God. We have a responsibility of Christians to know what's good and what's bad, and not to let the bad creep into our lives, because it will, and it's insidious. And it'll get into you before you realize it, if you're not careful. We have to be careful. We have to know what the Word says, we have to read it, and we have to follow. Because things are getting worse. I think it's very obvious. Things are getting worse. And in the Scripture, we're told that we need baptism. We're told that our way to salvation is through Jesus Christ, through His Word, through having faith, having works. We're told that we need to be baptized. 1 Peter 3:21 says, This water symbolizes baptism, which doth now save us. Right? We need to be baptized. That's why we offer that invitation every time we meet. And we'll offer it now. If you feel the need to be baptized, to become a member of Christ Church, we invite you to come forward. Or if you have any other need that needs to be addressed before the congregation, please come forward as we stand and sing.